Oh, no.
Blog Talk Radio.
That is a problem, isn't it?
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program on Wednesday, the 19th of April of 2023. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Northern Michigan, where I live. And it's great to be with you tonight, wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be accessing the program tonight, whether you've dialed into the program or whether you're tuning in on your smartphone or your tablet, you know, your laptop, or maybe you're using... Maybe you're still in the dinosaur age and are using a desktop computer.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I don't hear too much about new desktop computers. Do you?
No, I don't. I'll be honest, I don't.
Yeah, no, I think so.
I think they're mostly for gamers who are building them to certain specifications.
But other than that, it's kind of the dino age. You know, if you're a dinosaur, maybe a dinosaur will still use a desktop computer.
Ah, maybe.
Maybe a dinosaur.
Maybe.
But other than, speaking of which, I have a pun that was on the board, and then somehow one of the workers at Planet decided to delete it and put up a different pun, but I thought this other one was funnier. How did the T-Rex, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, how did he feel after his workout?
I don't know. How did he?
He felt dinosaur. Honestly, I thought that was a good one.
I mean, it's not a bad one, but it's a cringe one. It's one of those dad puns.
Is that maybe why it got deleted?
Nah, I think they were just ready for a different one. Somebody groaned on the walk-in.
Maybe someone groaned. And even, you know, the lady who I would jokingly call the pun master, she doesn't know that, but she kind of revealed yesterday that it was her pun board.
Ooh.
And that someone else had done it, and it wasn't the time, and that it wasn't the time for a new pun, because usually they try to leave it up for a week.
Oh, so she let you know. Okay.
Well, that's what had happened, and she was saying, like, it wasn't supposed to happen.
Okay.
Because there wasn't supposed to be a new pun yet. And so they had put up a new pun on the pun board, which, you know, I think it's kind of funny, but it's not the same as that one.
Right.
I thought that one was funnier.
What was the other pun?
I actually forget. We'll have to look.
Oh, should I say a pun?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, man, there's too many choices.
There's a waterbed.
I know. I was going to use it, but I didn't know if you'd still think it was funny.
I do.
Okay. So how do you make a waterbed bounce?
I don't know how you make a waterbed bounce. What do I have to do?
Fill it with spring water. I think that's a good one. It got me for real.
It still does.
It's good. It's good.
I don't know, of course. I knew the answer, but the truth is, you know, it makes it funner when you still do that wonder thing and say you don't know.
Exactly.
If I were to just belt out and say you used spring water, it wouldn't have the same effect.
It's true. It's like stealing your thunder.
So like, if I don't say I don't know or something like that, try to act dumb and say that I don't know. If I try to just act like I already know the answer, I've stolen the, and I, then it's like the thunder's been stolen. So that's why when you know, at least you got to act like you don't know even when you do know the answer.
Yeah, you know, it's like there's a script to puns, and if you follow it, you get more joy out of the experience.
Well, if I always just make it sound like I do know the answer.
Yeah, maybe people will call you a killjoy. We don't know them.
No, folks, we don't know, listeners. We do not need killjoys.
No.
We don't need, we don't, there's no need for killjoys when the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Combined with, I knew one person, that went to my church. She used to jokingly say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength and a nap."
Excuse me. That is so clever. I love that.
And so is a nap.
Yes, the joy of the Lord and a nap. I accept that for myself. Thank you. I receive that. Amen.
A better nap would be like if it's been like it was like at the olden Christmas times. In my mind, at least, it would have been a nap, maybe in a nice busy food court, maybe.
Ooh, well, my naps are a little bit different than yours.
But... I was just thinking. That's all.
Oh yeah.
And you just sit there while you watch the kids or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watch.
If that's what refills is.
That's kind of a joke, though, more or less, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Honestly, though, to me, though, it's like anyone else. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Yeah.
I was more or less telling a joke, to be honest. But in honesty, though, yeah, I can see where a nap can be like your strength, especially if it's a nap.
Especially if you are in the business of caring about other people.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Or if when you're taking a nap, maybe you hear the sound of a fair ride in your mind, like what happened to me once.
That's fun.
So
elaborate. Yeah.
So I have a funny story about this, folks, and I figure this is appropriate because this is we're now in the springtime, and some of you folk, depending on where you live, if you live in America, in some states right now, you might have carnivals set up in your area right now, maybe in a mall parking lot or something. But one time, about, I don't know, 11, 12, 13 years ago, somewhere in there, I'm in my bed Sunday afternoon, taking a little nap.
Yeah.
Taking a little breather. And so suddenly, and it's literally like day one of the fair. And at my county fair, where I live up here in Midland, day one of the fair, they are not running the rides on day one of the fair.
Correct.
Right. They're not. They're not running them until day two. So in my mind, somehow I hear in my mind, I wouldn't quite call it a dream. Maybe it was a dream, but maybe I was just hearing the sound in my mind. And I was hearing the sound of a motor of one of those fair rides. I literally heard, that can also be the cliffhanger, and also the Ring of Fire.
You're right. They do all have very similar sounds.
Different rides have different motors. I think there's a couple other ones that have a somewhat similar sounding motor.
Yes.
But more so those three.
Yes.
One is more relaxing than the other two, and you hear like I'm referring to the cliffhanger specifically.
Yes.
And I think that's the one I was hearing because I didn't hear crazy speed from the Himalaya, nor did I hear, the Ring of Fire going upside down.
Right.
In that little.
Yeah, because it has a special clap to it.
For a cliffhanger, you'll hear more.
Right. So what happened next in your dream?
I didn't hear much screaming or anything, so that told me it was probably the cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And there was probably a lot of people on it who were kind of quiet. And, you're kind of laying there on your back while you're on the cliffhanger.
Right.
And it's like you're, like, taking a little slide over the cliff. But you don't fall down the cliff.
Is that what was happening in your dream?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like you're just taking a ride on the cliffhanger, and it's like, I don't know why in my dream I was on that and not something like the freak out or the zipper or the Himalaya or Ring of Fire.
Right.
Or back then we had a big ride called the Jeep Horse.
Yeah.
And you may say, well, Riv, what about, well, Miracle Man, what about Remix? The Remix had not been there yet. The Remix was only at Midland Fair for 2 years, and then the company decided to retire.
Was it dangerous?
No, the company had decided to retire from doing carnival shows.
Oh, the company, not retired.
The company.
Okay.
Playworld Unlimited.
Okay. Some people, some companies, if they've made a certain product for a long time and they decide they just don't want to anymore or whatever reason, they will say, we're retiring this product.
Right.
So I thought you were talking just
no.
the ride.
Playworld Unlimited had decided that they were going to retire from showmanship, you know, putting...
Okay,
from,
yes, from, carnivaling.
From carnivaling, from going on the road. Jeff and Joyce Brady had decided that they were calling it a career.
Okay, cool.
And I actually got to talk to Joyce on the phone before, right, during that 2013 season, you know, while they were at the Midland Mall thing, and I just called them to ask them, you know, a couple things, because the one summer one time they did a carnival at our mall parking lot, but then what happened was Barnes & Noble came outside and really requested them to move that carnival to somewhere else in the mall parking lot. Do you remember hearing about that?
I do remember, because I do believe that they were worried that it would affect their sales if people couldn't get to their parking spots.
But here's the problem. They waited until after Sunday. They waited until Sunday evening to do it.
When they were already set up.
Ugh. Yeah, they had ran that show for 4 days.
Okay.
And in your mind, that is a concern that they would wait that long.
Yes. Is this part of your dream as well?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not. But I was just saying, like, what happened. But, like, I was just saying that in my dream, though, I could hear all... You know, I could hear that noise, I could hear that ride, and I think I could hear some kids, but not a lot.
Right.
Well, as for why, I don't know. And it's funny. Sometimes you'll have different dreams, and I don't know why the cliffhanger was my favorite ride in that dream. Let me rephrase that. What I mean is I don't know why the cliffhanger was the ride I was on in that dream.
Okay.
Like, why wasn't it Pharaoh's Fury? Why wasn't it, you know, something faster that I'm more apt to redo? But sometimes if I'm there on a Friday, I will redo everything once, you know?
Right.
Especially if on the Friday I'm there for, like, a lot of the day. So sometimes I'll, like, you know, maybe start it off when it's not so packed, and then I'll do it again, like when everybody's there, and it takes longer to get through it because you're waiting in line, but that's forever. But that's part of what you're there for, is the experience.
Exactly.
And I tell you, there's something to be said about Friday night. And I was also at a different fair, a different Friday night, Saginaw County. Kind of to my surprise, that Saginaw County Fair that Friday night was super packed.
Really?
Yes. What is it about Friday night and these county fairs that are different from even, like, say, Saturday night?
Friday is payday for some people. So they might have more money on a Friday than any other day of the week. My husband gets paid on Thursdays. So on Thursdays, we tend to do our grocery shopping because that's when the week's money comes in. So it's that way with lots of people.
Some of these carnivals on Friday night, at some of these county fairs, why on Friday night the Midway is flooded?
Yes.
But flooded, I mean in this sense, the lines are super long.
Yes. But saturated, yes.
Like where it's like, if it's not 90%, it's close to it. But you had told me that Midland Fair had done it in the past on some other nights when they would do certain concerts.
Yes, yes, it would saturate then as well.
And then it would, that's when it would happen, and there'd be like 1,200, 1,400, 1,500 on it.
Yes.
And that is, so that's kind of a little bit of a spring, you know,
spring fling for you.
I wish they'd do it again. I wish Playworld was still running, to be honest with you, because they kind of, when they left, there wasn't really a single company who decided to pick up all the slack. I wish there would have been, but
yes, we definitely have been lacking on the
ever since Playworld left, because
carnivals is since 2013.
Yeah, ever since Playworld left, because Playworld, man, they had it going, and I went to that year I literally went to 5 different carnivals. 5.
Wow. So if you're listening, Playworld employees, we miss you.
Come back. I miss you. Come back. I literally went to 5. I went to both Lublin shows, which to me is, yes, 2 different shows, even though it's with the same company, 2 different locations.
Yes.
I went to one in a place called Ionia, kind of near between Lansing and Grand Rapids, a little bit closer to Grand Rapids,
mm-hmm.
with Playworld Unlimited. Auburn, near here with TJ Schmidt and company.
Okay.
And then, Bertrun, a festival they had done for a couple of years. Bertrun Summerfest at the now closed Bertrun Expo Center.
Right.
And then with Wade shows.
Okay.
I have not seen Wade shows since then. They were a company that did our fair from 01 to 03. Do you remember a ride called the Rainbow by chance?
No, I do not.
What about Wipeout?
I do. That's a name that's familiar, but I don't, like, I can't bring up a visual of it in my mind. But the name is very familiar.
Unfortunately, this person, Alexis is afraid of heights.
Oh, yes. I'm very afraid of heights. Absolutely.
But we're gonna get free of that, and we're gonna get you on big rides. Yes.
Small miracle if that happens.
Small.
And if that happens, I will bring honor to God, because it will be indeed a miracle.
Why did you call it a small miracle?
You know what? You're right. Every miracle is a miracle, big or small. But it would be an actual God touched me himself to take that fear out of my life miracle, because I do not like being high up.
You will. You'll learn to love that ring of fire.
Okay. You can pray for me for that, and I will accept it if it happens.
Yeah. You'll be on the ring of fire and also the dipper. Yeah.
Please don't make me.
I won't make you. You'll want it.
Yes,
that's how it'll happen.
I will. My fear will leave me eventually.
It'll leave you. I remember, I've actually told this before on my show, but it's been quite a while, like a year or so. So one time I'm at the county fair back in like 08, I believe. Yeah. Playworld and one of the Nipper.
Okay.
And I'm on the ride with my cousin, Kelly. And she is going she's afraid she's about to, you know, like blow chunks or something. And I'm like, are you afraid of the ride or whatever? And I'm just thinking, God has not given me the spirit of fear. God has not given her the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear.
Or the spirit of vomit.
The spirit of, he has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I'm thinking that while we're on that ride, instead of yes, like I would normally be.
Right.
But instead of using that ride to pray.
That's fine.
That's great even. Yeah, I was, because I was doing that. I was doing that for her.
Yeah.
Because if I know someone's like feeling kind of, you know, and then I'm sitting there all getting excited and loving the ride, I'm making it worse for that other person.
Oh yeah, but it's okay.
Like if I'm sitting there like getting all excited, like how I might do on certain rides, maybe got the hands up in the air like this.
Oh my goodness, I would be so anxious if you had your hands up. I would be like, put your hands down. Hold on tight.
I'm like, no. I've been thinking, no.
Honestly, that would be the most epic way to go. If there was a horrible accident and you got to go to heaven early, that would be the best way to go with all the things that have tried to take you to heaven in your life. If you actually went out on a carnival ride, would be the most epic way to, like, stick it to the devil.
Now, hopefully that doesn't happen. But
exactly.
You know.
Unless you're 97 and you have a joy heart attack. That's the only way.
Or on one of those big roller coasters at Cedar Point.
Right, and then it's only if you're 119 years old and 11 months and 29 days.
And 364 days.
Yes.
You know, and then you're about to be on your 100th.
And then Dad will be like, all right, you've reached your expiration date. Time to come home.
And then, boom.
Yep.
Now the ride didn't crash, but it just...
No, just the end.
It just ended and you happened to be on it.
Yes.
But, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. But anyhow, I do want to remind you of a couple of quick things. These are things that I always try to remind listeners of in case we have new listeners. So bear with me for just a second. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I want to remind you. What?
Sometimes people would say a little housekeeping.
Or like what Lex says sometimes when she's in my house, she will say
housekeeping.
With that little Japanese German sound
yes,
thing.
Yes, a little housekeeping.
Like don't say a little. You just gotta say it like your normal like.
Right.
Japanese German.
Yes, just housekeeping.
That's literally what she'll say is housekeeping sometimes.
So you do your housekeeping
now. So now I'm going to do that little bit of housekeeping right there. Okay, the first thing that I'm going to mention to you is about my book. It's the story of my life. And as Lex elaborated to, you know, God's been so faithful. There's been multiple times where the spirit of death has tried to take me out. But all four of those times, the devil lost, God won.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't me trying to take my own life or anything like that. It was stuff when I was super little. It was stuff like cancer, stuff like that, that was trying to take me out.
Yes.
And one time in Chattanooga, Tennessee, scheduled to have like a 5, 6, 7 hour surgery or so. Turns into like an 18, 19 hour surgery. And partway through it, my heart stops. When your heart stops, they either have to get back going again or you're done.
Yep.
When the heart stopped, in my mind, you know, that was like the spirit of death trying to take me. But guess what? It didn't. I won. And my mom told me that I had said before I went back there into that OR at Erlanger Hospital, Chattanooga, Tennessee. My mom had told me that I had said, everything is going to be okay. The angels of God are going back there with me.
Oh, yeah, he was already ready for the battle. Just like always.
And the fact that I had said that showed, you know. And I didn't know when I came out of there that my heart had stopped. It took me a few years after for me to be told and realize that my heart had stopped when I was there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I had felt like it was just a crazy, major surgery, and that it was taking me a while to recover,
uh-huh.
Not realizing that I had almost died.
Yeah.
That I thought it was just a rather severe battle, you know?
And it was. You didn't realize.
That it was that my heart had almost stopped.
Yeah.
But I could tell, you know, that there was some severe stuff, because if your heart almost stops, it's going to take longer to recover.
Yes.
Because that means And if your heart almost stops, even at a little age like that, they'll almost put you on heart meds for a certain time, won't they?
I don't know that one.
Or they'll monitor your heart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they'll monitor, but I don't know if they'll give you the meds. But it's amazing that you, in your young age, already knew that God had already sent his soldiers to protect you.
That was like five or so.
Yeah.
Five and a half, something like that. And I just knew that it was going to be okay, even though I had already been poked with the needle,
mm-hmm.
even though I already knew that I couldn't have a drink of my Sprite or anything else or apple juice because it was surgery day.
Yeah.
But I knew that even though I was feeling, I knew that God had me.
Yeah.
Just feeling like the way so many people would feel on a day of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going back there and you're like.
Yeah, I mean, when I got my tonsils removed, I have felt like that. And that's not a major surgery. That's, an in and out thing. But there's still some level of, fear, anxiety, just, unknown with the surgery.
And then once you drift off to sleep and wake up and start to come to, it's like oftentimes you feel so relaxed.
Yes.
You feel so relaxed to the point where it's like, why can't we feel this relaxed more often? Sometimes it's almost like that. You know what I mean?
Right. So back to the housekeeping that you were doing.
But anyhow, regardless of that. But I got through that just like I got through the other stuff. And God's been there for me. He always has. And
you should absolutely pick up the book and
you should pick up the book and take a read about it and how faithful God's been.
Yes.
And I want to tell you guys something real quick. That is this. The victory is always greater than the battle, no matter how severe that battle is.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be facing a surgery that turned into 19 hours where your heart might or might not stop. Might not be like that every day,
no.
As you go through life, but the victory is always greater than the battle, regardless of what that battle is.
Amen.
And God is there. God has you in the palm of his hand. But you got to call on him, and you got to be able to trust him. It's better to trust in him and know that his angels are camped around about you than to be sitting there like, oh, am I going to make it?
Yeah.
Like through whatever it is that you're dealing with, maybe like, oh, will I pass this test? Will I get this job, or will I not get it?
Mm-hmm.
And like all that kind of stuff, like that happens as we go through this thing called life.
Mm-hmm.
But go online. If you want to get the book, you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is Rivers of Miracles, RIVERS of Miracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how that book can be a blessing into your life, because I want you to get blessed by that book. I really want you to. I've heard of people who have read that book and it totally changed their perspective about what they felt about Jesus for the better.
Yeah.
And it was never for the worse. It was always for the better. And so I want you to read it. But the other thing I want to remind you about real quick is about the PayPal. If the show has been a blessing into your life, honestly, I pray that this has been a blessing to you. I pray that you really enjoyed it. And by the way, for those of you who listen in these other countries, and some of you are staying up like to midnight, 1, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. to hear my show, thank you.
Yes.
And hopefully it's not because you can't sleep. Hopefully you're sleeping good at night. Or whenever you sleep, because some people work at night.
Right.
But hopefully, but prayerfully, when you sleep, you're sleeping good.
Yes.
And that God there with, you know. But you can go online to paypal.com to sow your seed into this program. And please know that when I get notified that seed's been sown, I always thank the Lord for that seed, and I always pray for that seed, and I always pray for the people who sowed that seed, because I want them to get blessed. I really do, and it's not something I take lightly or take for granted. And so, to sow your seed, you can go online to paypal.com. And in the search bar, you will want to type in Rivers Shukla. This Rivers is with a Y. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V, as in Victor, E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. So, Rivers Shukla, and I want you to keep in mind that the first R in Rivers and also the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So, make a note of that, please. And then the other thing related to that I want you to make a note of is that there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. So, please make a note of that if you would. And the verse I want to give to you tonight is where it says this: I wish above all things that you would prosper, even as your soul prospers. So that means He cares about your soul. He doesn't just want you to prosper in your body or in your finances or in your marriage, if you're married, or in, you know, your family life, or in, you know, all these different areas in life. He wants us, you know, he does want us to prosper. He does want us to be in health, even as our soul prospers. So like how are you doing at forgiving other people? Are you able to forgive yourself? Do you like yourself? You know, how's your attitude?
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff matters to God. So he said, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And hopefully your soul is prospering. Amen. And so now I'm going to sing a couple of songs. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty grave treasures in it, here in the love. But you came along and put me back together, failures and wrongs, not satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I know it's true. And I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, failures and faults. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountains there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You turn beauty into ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You're the only one who cares. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn foes into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who came. You turn graves into gardens. You turn foes into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who came. You're the only one who came. You're the only one who came. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. But I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, and you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. Love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. Thank you, Jesus. You okay?
Yeah, I was just getting a drink.
Oh, thank goodness. That sounds funny.
It was my straw.
don't worry about that noise, listeners, if you heard anything. That was just
Sorry, it was my straw.
That was just a little straw, so no reason to be a punch. Seriously, though.
Yeah.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Ooh. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us. You're always going before us. You're always hemming us in. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Thank you, Lord God. I pray these listeners would feel your presence right now, wherever they are, whether they're in their, house, whether they're out driving, whether they're out doing whatever it is that they're doing. You know where they're at, even when I don't. You know where they are because you know everything. Amen. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're just ministering to them by your Spirit. Thank you, Master, for that. And I thank you that these listeners are ready to receive from your holy word tonight whatever it is that you have for them. Thank you that the word in season, and that they are ready to receive it, what you have for them. With ears that are ready to hear, minds that are ready to understand, and are not focused on distractions.
Yes.
And I thank you, Master, that you meet every need represented by these listeners. You know what they need, even when I don't. And I thank you that you're healing their bodies, you're strengthening their minds, you're quickening their mortal body, as your word says. But that's what you do, is that you quicken our mortal body. And I thank you, Lord God, for that and for what you're doing, healing their bodies, strengthening their bodies, their minds. You're the God that can do all things. And I thank you that you're doing that.
Uh-huh.
Now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership, that more and more people will find out about this program and will tune in. And that most of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. I want you to open your Bible, if you have it, either a Bible or a device with a Bible app on it, and go with me to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. And based on our former president a few years ago, he had one time said 2 Corinthians and not 2 Corinthians. And we realized, you know, what real difference does that make whether you say 2 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? Well, same thing with 1st and 2nd of anything else, or 3rd John, you know, 3 John. So go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to start in verse 1. By the way, that was just a thought I had. That did actually happen, where our president had, you know, made that little mistake of saying 2 Corinthians when he meant 2 Corinthians. Sorry. Nonetheless, I want you to look at verse 1 with me.
What's our book? I had to relieve.
1 Kings. You had what?
I had to relieve myself.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm back now. Excuse myself. That's what I meant. Yes, sorry.
Okay, but
1 Kings?
First Kings 13, I'm going to start with verse 1.
Okay.
By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. And he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord. O altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born by the house of David. The house of David. On you, he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who now make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you. That same day, the man of God gave a sign. This is the sign that the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart and the ashes on it will be poured out. When King Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and he said, seize him. But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up so that he could not pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart and its ashes poured out according to the sign given to the man of God by the word of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, intercede to the Lord your God and pray that pray with me that my hand may be restored. So the man of God they were seated with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift. But the man of God answered the king, even if you were to give me half of your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would, I'm turning the page.
Yep.
No. I will not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return to the way you came. So he took another road and did not return to the way, by the way that he had come to Bethel. Now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They all told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked them, which way did he go? And his son showed him the road that the man of God from Judea had taken. So he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. And when they had saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. And he found him sitting under an oak tree, and he asked, are you the man of God who came from Judah? I am, he replied. So the prophet said to him, come home with me and eat. The man of God said, I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came. And the old prophet answered, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel said to me, by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house, so that he may eat bread, drink water. But he was lying by himself. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. While they were sitting at their table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man, God, who had come from Judea, this is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. You came back and you ate bread and you drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. And as he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown down on the road with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. Some people who passed by saw the body thrown down there with the lion standing beside the body, and they went and reported it in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his journey heard of it, He said, it is the man of God who defied the word of the Lord. The Lord has given him over to the lion, which has mauled him and killed him, as the word of the Lord had warned him. And the prophet said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. And they did so. Then he went out and found the lion thrown down on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. The lion had neither eaten the body nor mauled the donkey. So the prophet picked up the body of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back to his own city to mourn for him and bury him. Then he laid the body in his own tomb, and they mourned over him and said, oh, my brother. After burying him, he said to his sons, when I die, bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the message he declared by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all of the shrines on the high places in the towns of Samaria will certainly come true. Even after this, Jeroboam did not change his evil ways, but once more appointed priests in the high places from all sorts of people. Anyone who wanted to become a priest, he consecrated for the high places. This was the sin of the house of Jeroboam that led to its downfall and to its destruction from the face of the earth. So you see here, folks, the man of God was told something to do. He was told, do not
eat or drink in this place.
He said, don't drink, don't eat food, don't drink water in this place. Don't go back the way you came.
Yes.
Your turn. He said, go away. Don't even go back the way you came. He kept getting enticed. He kept getting enticed time and time and time again.
Yes.
First time, he says, nope. Second time, someone else comes, he's like, okay, fine. But for that, he lost his life for that.
He did, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. You may not die right where you are just because God called you, told you something to do, and you didn't do it. You might not necessarily die right then, right there. Unless maybe God tells you, pull this car over now. I have a story about this.
Okay.
So one time, this man who went to, who was going to Livermore Church, you know, my local church, he had this story to tell. And so this man is driving down the freeway. Not exactly the freeway, but you know, I mean, not exactly the interstate. We have a major freeway that runs through our town here in Midland. That's not exactly an interstate, but it's kind of a big freeway for Michigan.
Yeah.
So Highway 10, and this guy is traveling down Highway 10, and he has, you know, he has to go to work, and he's in a little bit of a hurry. You know, like he has this meeting of some kind that he's trying to go to. So the Lord tells him, pull over and pray. He says, I want you to pull over and pray. And this man's like, well, I got a meeting to go to. I'll come out to my car and pray after. Like, that's what he's thinking. He's like,
ooh.
He's thinking, you know, I love you, Lord. I'll pray later.
Yeah, you, I will pray, just not right now.
Like, right now, I got this thing I need to go to, so I can't pull over and pray.
I'm late.
You know, he's like, I'm late. If you want me to pray and drive, I'll pray and drive. But I can't pray and pull over. And a minute later, pull this car over now. Didn't do it. A minute later, he hears through his spirit, pull this car over now. He says, okay. He pulls that car over.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far away, major car crash happens. Major car crash happened just ahead, not far away from him at all.
Wild.
And he says, you see, you could have died had you not obeyed.
That's an amazing testimony.
And he was sitting there, you know, praying, obviously he's praying that those involved would live and not die.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been worse than what it actually was. Could have been worse.
He could have been part of it.
He could have been part of him dying for not obeying. Even though he very likely would have still went to heaven. I mean,
but that's not really the point.
God. But the point is you gotta obey God when He's telling you to do something, because you never know when that could be, you know, that life or death thing. And that man of God is thinking, you know, it's like he's trying to do the right thing, but then he gave in to peer pressure. Because those people kept enticing him.
Oh, yes.
They kept enticing him, and at one point he's like, you know, fine. I'll do it. But he should have just not went back and said, nope, I'm good. I don't need to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to go back the way I came. I'm done with that now.
Right.
Because he had became a man of God. And he said, and the prophet tried to entice him and be like, you know, I love God too. You know?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I serve God too. So like, and I'm sure in his mind, he's like, well, what's the big deal? He's like, what's the big deal? Come to my house. It's fine. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, it's not like you're going to a place full of pagans
right. And
heathens. He's like, it's not like that. But then part of the consequence was that he would not be buried.
In his family's grave.
That he wouldn't be buried, and a lion was put there, and he died as a result of that lion. That lion was there.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean that the Lord will cause that car, because the Lord's not gonna just cause a car crash to happen right in front of you.
Right.
Because you didn't stop. With the story that I told, the reason the Lord was telling him, you know, pull this car over, was to protect him from danger.
Mm-hmm.
To protect him from danger. I have another story. So one time, back to Barbara tells this other story where this preacher or whatever is like, is on a highway en route to somewhere, and God tells him, get off this certain exit here and go get your coffee and your donut,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you like to get. And he's thinking, well, really? I got to get into work. I got to get to work. And then he gets closer and closer to that exit. Get off this exit. Go get that coffee and donut that you like. He gets off that exit. That place that he went to work at, got destroyed.
What? How?
It might have been like the 9/11 towers or something like that.
Oh.
There were people, multiple people. There were multiple people on 9/11
who that speak were, of, yes.
That did not go into work and had not showed up to work. Had they showed up on time, they would have died.
Yeah, I've heard stories like that, similar, you know, not exactly the same, but I was on my way to work that morning and I just got this gut feeling that I needed to stop and turn around and go make sure that the stove was off because, you know, I just had this gut feeling something was wrong. So I pulled over and called my mom real quick and they would learn that later that day their workplace, the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center, wherever it was that they worked, had been destroyed.
By terrorists.
Yes.
Who had, and they were like, they were thinking, if I hadn't, you know, went home to check the stove and turn it off if it was left on, if I hadn't went home to do that and I instead went right into work, I could have, in their mind, they're like, I could have died.
Mm-hmm.
But some other time, for some people, it was just, you know, their natural thoughts. For other people, it was the Holy Spirit. And they chose to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And to be obedient to what they thought. And for it to end up being ordained by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit might not always tell you ahead of time. You might not all, you know, if you're not paying attention, you might not always tell you ahead of time, but you might have that instinct that might say, you know, maybe I shouldn't go in today,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And then it turns out
it's not always obvious.
It is, and then it turns out, you know, it's great that you didn't, because you're still alive, and all those coworkers of yours that went in there died.
Yeah.
And so. You know, so that's why it pays to obey God. It really pays to obey God, even when it might not always feel.
Yeah.
It might not always feel like the easiest thing to do. It's not always going to be sunshine. Obeying God will not always be sunshine and lollipops. Because, I mean, there'll be some things where I might say, do this.
Okay.
Do that. It's like oh, really? You want me to do that? Really? You want me to pull this car over right now? I'm late for work.
Yeah.
Like in that story that I told you about, and the other story that involved, you know, the get up and go to that coffee and donut shop and go get your donut. Hopefully he got a peanut butter donut.
Hopefully.
you know, and maybe he could be like, at the time, though, folks, I did not know that peanut butter donuts existed, nor would I know for several more years, like at least like 8-9 more years, would I know about, you know, the awesomeness of a peanut butter donut.
Right.
But the peanut butter donut is beside the fact right now.
Yes.
Someday there should be live donuts on the show. Someday there needs to be.
Someday I think that will happen.
That needs to happen, a live donut.
Yes.
On the show that might be taste tested maybe. It just might be. Who knows?
Who knows?
Nobody knows, honestly. I don't know either. When I was saying who knows there, I really meant it, because maybe it will never happen. I don't know. But nonetheless, he chose to obey God as opposed to give in to the idea of, you know, I should go into work. My boss is there. They're counting on me to come in. At the time, you know, cell phones were not quite as widely available as they are now. Not quite everybody had them yet. So, you know, they were, so, you know, the, so there's those stories of all those people that didn't go into work that day. But by, my point being made is that sometimes being obedient to God and doing the things that he tells you to do can literally save your life.
Yeah.
It literally can save your life because it, and it might not be God killing you, like, because Jesus isn't going to send necessarily an animal or whatever to just kill us.
It might not be a literal killing either. It might be a figurative killing. You know, if you don't listen to God when he says, don't speak to your manager, and then they say something to you and you say something snarky back, guess what? Your job is dead now. You got fired.
You might be fired. It might not be like you died right there that day, like in your own, like you don't have a body, an earthly body anymore, die.
Correct.
Like it won't be like that. It'll be like a consequence. It'll be like you might lose a job, or you might lose a scholarship, or you might lose, you know, something like that. So it might be like, you know, you lost this, you lost that, but you might not exactly lose your life right at that moment.
Exactly.
So that's why it always pays to obey God, even when sometimes it might not make sense. Sometimes there might be people, pressure of other people that might even seem like good people. Like to that guy, it was a prophet. It wasn't some old friend that was like, come, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like an old friend, an old pal. It was a prophet. But God still told him, don't go back.
Yeah, it was a prophet. He should know above all other people, you know, you don't mess with that. If God said, don't eat, don't drink, and don't go back the way you came, then that means you keep going until you reach the sign that says hello and welcome out of the Sinai Peninsula, you know, or wherever he was.
Wherever it was that he was, but he hadn't even gotten there yet. And
exactly.
And instead, he suddenly caved. After saying that he wouldn't, he caved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if he got tired. I don't know if he got hungry. I don't know if there was some ice cream. I don't know if there was some.
Yeah.
I don't. Who knows? Maybe there was a promise of free ice cream for his donkey.
Maybe.
Ice cream.
I forgot about the donkey.
Damn the donkey.
Give the donkey water.
Brought to you by Dan the Donkey.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been brought to you, listeners, by none other than Mark Lowry and the Gaither Boys.
Right. But back to the story.
But in real life, honestly, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe there was a promise of some whatever their frozen sweet treats of that day might have been. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is he shouldn't have followed that enticement. He shouldn't have followed that enticement. Because there could very well be enticements to try to get you to not obey.
Mm-hmm.
Or like it could be, there can be like enticers, like people trying to get
temptations.
You. Temptations. Trying to get you to like come back and be like, yeah, if you come, you'll get this. If you come, you know, I'll give you and your donkey this. I'll give you a nice hot shower. I'll give you,
right,
you know, even some things that out here in America might just take for granted because maybe we have it every day, but there, you know, in those times, they didn't.
Right.
Which is why I used, you know, the hot shower example. You know, like maybe you'll get to use a nice warm shower instead of having to, you know, do the cold wash with, you know, a pail and, you know, the other means that they might have used to wash
themselves.
And so, or to wash their dogs, or to do certain daily things like that, or, you know, to wash their pants, you know, to make their food, and those different things that they would do, like, in their daily life. But you know, for being told, you know, regardless, you know, you still should be obeying God. When God tells you something to do, do it.
Yeah.
And don't be like, I guess. You know, don't be doing that, I guess, because then it's almost like you don't want to.
Right.
Because.
You need to be whole.
And guess what else? So goes your attitude. There goes your life. Dun, dun, dun. I know. I just threw one on you. Bet you didn't know that. It's a newsflash to some of you folks. But it's true. So goes your attitude. There goes your life.
Mm.
And I've heard that not just from my parents, but even from ministers and others, that there's actually truth to that statement that I just made. As goes your attitude, there goes your life. So that's why it's important, you know, to have a good attitude. And that's for all of us. That's not just for young people.
Yes.
Because some, in case you might be wondering, oh, you're just talking to young people. No. Nope. Even though it's so true for young people.
Yes.
Because it makes sense, you know. Because sometimes we might hear that.
Those developing brains sure make you mean. Look, I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah, because sometimes, I you might have heard that kid slam his book on the table.
Yeah.
That door slam, you know. You're a mom. Maybe you've heard it.
I haven't heard it, but I've witnessed it from my niece, who is 12, and it's scary. I'm not ready for it.
And, you know, some of those little kids might do that, like, in different ways.
Yes, but spiritually, any person of any age can still do that.
Yeah,
I feel personally that my spiritual growth has had at one point gone through almost like a puberty stage where I had a lot of anger towards God. Like, sure, I was still in my Bible. I was still listening to the worship music, but I was mad at him the whole time.
You're like, what?
Yes. And I feel now that I'm coming out of that and, like, finding peace with the Lord again, that looking back, it's possible for Christians to go through their own phases of disrespect in their spirituality.
And it's important always keep a respect for God, and like that we truly, you know, it's important to love him, but you can't let that attitude get to you.
No.
And have a bad attitude to where, like, you're spiritually slamming doors and then be like you're spiritually.
If you're locking God out spiritually, then.
It's like you're slamming in the door.
Yep.
It's like that person who's slamming the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're upset or for whatever reason, and so they just slam it. But the truth is you don't want to lock God out. Because then it's like, what? You don't want me? God look at that and be like, what? You don't want me part of your life anymore? You want to rule your own life? You want to do this your own way and not walk by my rules?
Yeah. Well, it's not even rules. I mean, you don't want to be covered by the rules, but I mean, have my coverage. Yeah.
You don't want to have my coverage.
You want to be outside my blessings. You want to be outside my promises.
You want to be outside of my blessings. Well, I won't bless you if you're going to be doing that.
It's like if you were a teenager and you lock God into a house and it's a torrential rain downpour, hurricane, whatever, and you have to sit on the porch. Because you lock God out. You're not on the inside of the warm house. You're out in the elements when you do that.
You're outside in the
spiritual elements, which are so much more dangerous it feels than
and wind
than physical
and all this
element.
Other stuff,
yeah.
And all that other stuff and all this
yeah.
other junk that you don't need and
yeah.
all that.
So obey.
So you just have to be able to listen and obey, and you have to be able to listen in order to obey.
Yeah, and listen to hear.
You got to be able to listen to hear and not just try to guess.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to guess, because what if it's actually some other voice and not God?
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is that something can be good and not be God.
Yes.
See?
Amen.
You know, and even if it is God, that doesn't always mean it'll be what you want to hear.
Right. Well, and especially God, with God, not everything's going to feel good.
It's not always going to feel
just God, like healing from your surgery. Didn't feel good, but man, we're so glad you're here.
Yeah, I didn't exactly feel good. I felt like I was in the hospital a little bit longer and some stuff. And, you know,
yeah.
And maybe, you know, but, you know, God's always there.
Always, yeah.
He's always there. He doesn't leave you and forsake you. So he knows what you're doing. Even when you think he doesn't know, he knows.
He does.
He knows. And when he sees. He actually does. He's not. It's not just like no little Santa Claus either.
No.
Like where he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad. So be good. You know. He knows. He knows everything about you. He knows about your life. He knows.
The sign of the cross is literally in our DNA as human beings. He's touched us since before we were born.
And there's no fooling him.
No.
He
knows the desires of your heart. Desire him. That's it. Simply put, period, the end.
And you can't con God because they'll figure you out if you do.
Yes.
There's no conning him. And by con, I don't mean convention, like, you know, comic con. But Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get it in our hearts, that we would always have it in us to obey you, even when it doesn't always seem easy, even when there's people around us trying to get us to do the other thing,
yes.
to make the other choice. That may we always have it in us to obey, no matter, even when it doesn't always just feel, you know, easy. Help us to not cave. And I pray that we would get this in our hearts and that we would be those who are doers of your word and not hearers only. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And now I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. No evil shall befall us. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling, because you've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.